Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1891. Sir John Gilmore glanced at the clock and realized that it was nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. It was time, he thought, for him to leave. He turned to the pretty woman who was holding his arm and said, "I am afraid that I have to go home. I may have many things I need to do tomorrow, and I must have some sleep before I start work." She laughed.
"Work to you is very different from what it is to other people. But you have not forgotten, John dear, that you are dining with me tomorrow night?"
"Of course I have not forgotten," Sir John replied, "and I will be counting the hours until I see you again." She looked up at him. As their eyes met, she said in a whisper,
"We shall be alone. As you know, Arthur is going to the races and will not be back until Saturday."
Sir John smiled. "We will talk about it tomorrow," he murmured. Releasing himself from her arm, he went across the room to where his hostess was saying goodbye to several people who, like himself, realized that it was now late. As the guests were moving away, he held out his hand, saying,
"How can I ever thank you for a most amusing and delicious dinner, and an even more delightful band?"
"I am so glad that you enjoyed yourself, John," she answered, "and I will look forward to seeing you again next week."
"If I am in London, I will be knocking on the door even sooner than you expect," Sir John promised.
She pressed her hand closer into his and said, "You know I want to see you."
"And I want to see you," he replied.
He raised her hand and touched it with his lips. Without saying any more, he walked quickly through the dancers to the door that led from the ballroom into the passage. Even as he did so, there was a patter of feet behind him. He turned round to see a very pretty woman who had been often acclaimed as one of the most influential and attractive hostesses in London.
"John," she exclaimed a little breathlessly. As she reached him, she said, "You have not forgotten that you are dining with us on Tuesday night. I have a special surprise for you, but I am so afraid that you will disappear into the country and forget you promised to be my guest for dinner."
"Of course I have not forgotten your party," Sir John answered. "How could I forget you?"
She looked up at him, and her eyes said more than her lips. Sir John kissed her hand and said,
"I will be with you at 8 o'clock. Don't worry. It is a date which is impossible to forget."
"Just as I could never forget you," she said in a low voice.
Because he could see several people coming from the room he had just left, Sir John released her hand and moved quickly down the passage to the front door. It was always the same, he reflected. Wherever he went, it was difficult to get away. There were always attractive women wishing to delay him when he wanted to be free. As he expected, his carriage was waiting for him outside the front door, and as he stepped into it, he said to the footman holding the door,
"Tell Cochrane to take me back home as quickly as possible. I am sorry to keep him waiting, but I wanted to leave at least an hour ago."
"We thinks as how you'd be ever so late, sir,"
the man answered with a smile. He shut the door as Sir John sank down on the seat inside. The horses moved off and were going at a very fast pace, and Sir John lay back comfortably in the carriage. He thought, with a sigh, that it was far later than he had intended to leave, but it was always the same at those parties. The most attractive women always seemed to come last on his list of dances. It was impossible for him to leave without being unnecessarily rude. All the same, it had been an amusing evening. He had had two of the most famous beauties in London society at his side at dinner. They had vied with each other in flattering him, and made him feel embarrassed by whispering things he had no wish to be overheard or suspected by their husbands, or, far more dangerous, older women who desired his attention. It would have been impossible for Sir John not to be aware that he was the most sought-after young man in the whole of London society. He had a reputation for being a roue, which was entirely justified. It was inevitable that a great many men were not only jealous of his success, but angry because their wives were in fact...